Hi again, I'm Sean Kelly, the voice of the Gators, and welcome to the Gator Tales Podcast with Sean Kelly, episode number 31. Greetings from Chicago. I'm up in the Windy City working on some NBA playoff stuff. As a matter of fact, saw the Chicago Bulls eliminate the Atlanta Hawks last night in the play-in round. Great atmosphere, as always, at the United Center. Great to see Gators legend Billy Donovan, the former basketball coach of the Gators, is coaching the Chicago Bulls into another play-in game this week, now against the Miami Heat. As I come to you this week, I'm watching the sun rise over Lake Michigan. Pretty cool sight. And a pretty cool podcast for you today as well. There have been two really good events on campus the last 2 weeks. I was able to go to both and grab some interviews to share with you here in episode number 31. My first stop was the Gators Scholarship Endowment Dinner, a unique night, a favorite of many, in which Gator boosters are paired up with Gators student-athletes to celebrate the endowment of scholarship money. And at that visit, I was able to catch up with a couple of our student-athletes from Gators Swimming and Diving. The men and women both won the SEC championship. The men finished in the top 5 nationally, and the women finished in the top 10. And here now this week, it's a big haul for the Gators when it comes to SEC awards. Josh Liendo is the male swimmer of the year. Bella Sims is the female swimmer of the year. Johnny Marshall won male freshman swimmer of the year. Bella Sims was the female freshman swimmer of the year. Anthony Nesty, for the second year in a row, was both the men's and women's coach of the year. Connor Gessing was the male freshman diver of the year. And Camilla Monroy was the female freshman diver of the year. Two of the combined team's captains were at the event. Jake Mitchell on the men's side, and Emma Wayant on the women's side. You'll hear my visit with the two of them together on this week's podcast. Then this past Monday, I joined Florida football coach Billy Napier on the Gators Caravan. The first stop was Gainesville, Florida. 5 more visits around the state coming up on subsequent Mondays. Gators football just wrapped up their spring football practice schedule with the orange and blue game this past Saturday. I've got a one-on-one for you this week with head coach Billy Napier to discuss the story of the offseason and the orange and blue scrimmage. Plenty else is happening with the Gators too. Kenna McGinnis returns with her look at Kenna on campus, and we'll go back to Scott Strickland's office for another installment of Ask the AD. So, from the Windy City, it's episode 31 of the Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly, and we begin with head coach Billy Napier. Gator Tales with Sean Kelly is presented by UF Health. UF Health has locations throughout Florida, including Gainesville, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Leesburg, and the Villages, and we're growing. Compassionate care and world-class outcomes, that's our game plan. Visit ufhealth.org to learn more. Our podcast is also brought to you by Pet Paradise. Gator fans, for pet fanatics like you, there's only one place who goes all out for your pet the way you do. Boarding, grooming, day camp, and veterinary services all in one convenient location. Pet Paradise and New Day Veterinary Care. Finally, complete pet health care is here for Gator Nation. Head coach Billy Napier is back once again on the Gator Tales podcast, fresh off the orange and blue game this past weekend. Coach, how'd you sleep on Saturday night? Did it feel good?
Yeah, it felt good. We got out of there healthy and very competitive game. And I tell you what, I was impressed. We had a handful of rookies that I thought really rose their level. It's fun to watch them compete.
Blue team won it. To the victor goes the spoils. What was on the line, Coach? What does blue get versus orange as the result was handed down?
So Gator, winner dinner. Winner, Gator dinner, I should say. So Monday, the winners are going to have a nice white tablecloth meal. The losers, not so much, right? So we also have a pair of Jordans. This year, every player is going to get the Jordans. We've had a really good offseason, so I want to reward that.
Speaking of rewarding that, you praised them when you gathered them midfield at the end of the game. At least that's what I was told, Coach, that you were proud of the way they participated through those 15 practices.
Yeah, I think it's been good. Going all the way back to January, it's just really the best group of kids we've had since we've been here. I appreciate the leadership part. We've got some veterans that really are on a mission to do something significant here, want to leave a legacy, want to make some memories. And I think the rookie group, the high school players and the transfers, have done a good job, you know, in terms of accountability. So this has been a fun group to coach and be around. We have very few issues. We're able to focus on the fun parts of our job to some degree. And all the parts of the building are up and running. So I think the players, it's why you get into the game, and this group's fun to coach.
For the players that returned, were they fueled in any way by what happened last fall, or did they renew themselves and give you a new spirit coming out of the holiday break?
Yeah, I think they know how close we are. You know, I mean, I think about it. We've got the lead in the fourth quarter in the majority of the games down the stretch. You know, a couple of those, we got the lead twice. You know, so I think we know we're close. I think this group knows that there are some things that needed to happen. You know, they had input into that. We allowed them to be a part of the portal recruiting process, allowing them feedback on each player that we brought in for visits. And then we made necessary changes, and I think they respected that. All the different parts of the organization where we felt like we needed to make changes, we did that. And, you know, you can't fool the players. Nowadays, they're a part of every conversation, and I think ultimately we've hired well, you know, and I think that's proved to be beneficial this offseason.
Coach, I personally don't handle change very well. You seem to be good with it. That was a lot of change. Were you nervous at any time that with so much change it would be clunky at any point?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do think that part of leadership is making tough decisions. I do think that some of the people that we hired had some familiarity with how we do things. You know, Tyler was here last year. I do think that Ron Roberts has been with me in the past. Joe Houston actually worked with me for a brief time before the New England Patriots, and he's been at Alabama, right? I think he knew what the workflow would be like. So overall, you know, we needed to bring in talented people, intelligent people, new set of eyes in a lot of areas, and I think we've done that.
You don't strike me, Billy, as a guy who's surprised by very much, but were you surprised about anything during the spring? And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I've been impressed with the nutrition, and I think that's one of the areas where I think we just hired a slam dunk. Jake Sankle's been phenomenal. I mean, just we put in some protocol. I think he's done a good job of educating the players. We're building habits. There's accountability, and I think players have kind of got into it, right? I think we'll have some body composition numbers here pretty soon that I think are going to be pretty astounding. I mean, I think our team is leaner. I think we've added some lean muscle, the change in philosophy with the sports science, strength and conditioning part, paired with the nutrition. I think that's probably the thing that surprised me the most is how impactful that part of our building has been.
I'm not surprised in this case to hear you say that. I mean, I haven't seen the metrics. I don't need them. You look at some of the guys, and they've dramatically changed their bodies here in this offseason. Coach, who popped? Who kind of jumped a little bit for you here in this offseason?
The big takeaway for me is I think we've added some tackles that has created some competitive depth there. Not only the two portal tackles, but the two freshmen that played with the twos the majority of spring. Mm-hmm. So Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon and Devin Manuel to go along with Fletcher Westfall, Caden Jones, those are four guys that can protect, and the pocket's been cleaner. That's the big takeaway for me is that Mertz has got time and he's been able to distribute the ball. Chim Dike, I think we made a good decision adding him to the team, not only the production but the play speed. The guy's a 10-8. He plays fast. He's hit the ground running. I think there's some chemistry there with Graham. I think on defense, the two inside players, Cam Jackson and Caleb Banks, are a force. And in the back end, all those young, talented players paired with the portal safeties, that group's got a chance to be pretty good. So, you know, all the guys that we played last year, for the first time in their career, they're out there playing college football. They've had a year to the offseason to, okay, now I know what it's like and I can kind of train and prepare having the experience from last year. And I think we've seen a big jump in a lot of those guys from a football standpoint.
Coach, the spring transfer portal window, what do you want that to be for you in Florida?
Well, I'm hopeful we don't have to do a lot, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think we'll see what becomes available. But we're finally to a position where we've got, you know, we're playing with a lead to some degree from a roster management standpoint. So there'll be a handful of opportunities, and we'll evaluate them, and we'll be competitive. what's the market going to be like? You know, I think reality is it's like, okay, what is the value of the player relative to the NIL market? And do we have enough room to do that? So we'll be looking for players that we think can make our team better, and we'll make individual decisions based off of that. We have a little bit of room, not much. You know, we're literally talking 1 to 2 players potentially, and that's about it, right? So we're finally to a space here where we're not, and there's no, we're not desperate. You know, I think the NFL free agency market kind of is very similar to this. We actually feel good about what we have. So, but we will be calculated about what we do, and we're hopeful to retain the majority of the players on our team.
Coach, you're about to hit the road. You'll be out on the Gators caravan talking to fans all around the state. You always have a message for your team. What about that team that is our fans? What do you want to leave them with here over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm excited about kind of telling the story of the offseason, you know, going all the way back to December, the processes that we went through, the changes that we made, you know, relative to staff, some of the things that we've done from a personnel standpoint. It's been a fun offseason, and I would tell you some of these new faces have really given me some energy. You know, I'm excited about the team that we have, and I'm excited about some of the new hires. So just to talk about those things and tell the story of the work we've been doing. You know, I think we're halfway through this offseason, and it's by far, hands down, the best offseason we've had since we've been here.
Coach, as always, thanks. We'll see you out on the road.
Thank you. Go Gators.
Another incredible night at the Scholarship Endowment Fund dinner at the O'Connell Center. It's, for a lot of folks, the favorite night of the year, especially for Gator boosters and a lot of us that are on the UAA staff. But it's a chance for us to meet and celebrate some of our student athletes here at Florida. And why not swimming and diving, too? So Emma Wyatt, Jake Mitchell were here tonight representing men's and women's swimming and diving. This night is like what for you, Emma?
We're both captains on the team this year, so it's been really great to give back and meet some of the Gator donors that have been a huge part of our success this season.
Jake, they're as excited to meet you guys as anybody else in their daily lives. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just because, you know, they invest so much time, love, and energy into the Gators and everything that goes on at Florida, that it's just a super cool experience to be able to, like, meet them, network with them, and talk about, you know, sports and everything like that.
Yeah. Emma, in a world we have transfer portal now and NIL and everything else, but really at the heart of the student-athlete experience is still that scholarship. And these people that you were all with tonight, those are the ones that are directly impacting those scholarship funds, some more so than others and whatnot, but this is kind of, for them, I think, a throwback to what this is all about, the college experience. Did you feel that tonight?
Yeah, and like you said, they've created the opportunities for us like they had when they were here, so it's really great to relive it with them and kind of get some advice on how to navigate Florida.
Well, you got a lot of advice tonight, did you?
Yeah, it was fun.
Anything in particular?
I think we got a lot of good stories about how Florida was back in the day.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those. Jake, there was some interactive parts of the evening, you know, things like, you know, tell me who your favorite athlete is and your favorite Gator memory. Were any of those icebreaker type questions for conversation of particular note to you?
I think probably the favorite sports memory, that was probably the best icebreaker. I mentioned the Tennessee-Florida football game and watching the fight between the players and being able to watch Florida come out on top. And that was something that a lot of the other people at the table shared with me. And so that was kind of a cool conversation.
That's a good one. And Emma, was there a particular question or comment or answer tonight that struck a chord with you?
I would say the same question. We got to kind of share some of the moments from swimming this season, which, you know, swimming isn't always the biggest sport, so getting its moment is always fun.
Yeah, I'm glad. See, Jake, she did it. I was trying to tee you up to say SEC championship or finishing top 5 in nationals. Emma, you got it. Thanks for picking up where I wanted you to go. What was that experience like for you and your teammates this year?
It meant the world. This is the first time the women's team has been in the top 10 for a long time. The last time they won the national championship was in 2010, and I think we're on the road to do that in the next few years.
That is amazing. Did you feel during the season that this was a particular team that could achieve something that had taken so long to get back to?
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot of really talented freshmen and some very dedicated upperclassmen, and I think it created a really good mix.
Yeah. Jake, on your guys' end, on the guys' side, what was the experience like?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I think this is probably the closest team that I've seen in my life as a swimmer, and I think we all kind of rallied around the goal of just trying to be the best that we could be, and that really showed at SECs and NCAAs.
Did the SEC championship experience kind of boost your hopes for what it could be in the postseason beyond just conference championship?
Yeah, I think a really big point of emphasis at this program is to be the best we can be at NCAAs and SECs, so yeah. Kind of taking that success into the end of the season and into the summer for Olympic trials.
Okay. Emma, where are you from?
Sarasota, Florida.
Sarasota, Florida. Jake, you?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, wait a minute. We got a Midwest guy here and a Florida girl. Your swimming backgrounds are similar in what way, do you think?
I think, well, we both transferred from different schools. So I was at Michigan for 2 years, and then I transferred to Florida, and Emma was at Virginia for 2 years and transferred to Florida. We met at the Olympics, and so that's kind of how our swimming journeys are kind of similar.
And you're both team captains. Did you think when you were in the transfer portal process that you would end up being the captain at your new school?
No, but I was very fortunate to have great captains last year and kind of learn from them, and it was a big honor to be a captain this year.
Jake, what was the hardest part about the transfer process to go from Indy to Michigan to here?
I don't really think it was that hard, just because I knew that I wanted to go to Florida. I had a relationship with Anthony Nessie. He coached me at the Olympic camp, and I knew several of the swimmers just from racing and everything. And so it was really an easy decision. And then once I saw everything that Florida was offering, it was a no-brainer.
I'm really glad I got to meet you guys tonight. Congratulations on a great, great year. And let's just go from there. Go Gators.
Thank you. Go Gators.
Thank you. Go Gators.
It's time now for Ask the AD with Director of Athletics, Scott Strickland. Scott, I'm going to combine a couple of questions for you. They've come from different sports, fans of different sports like lacrosse, track and field, softball, soccer. And seemingly the question is, with regard to the Olympic sports, how has NIL and transfer portal impacted those coaches and players? We don't get much news about them. We always hear about football and basketball, seemingly.
Well, Sean, there's not a sport in college athletics that hasn't been impacted by those things in one way or another. And the accurate answer is probably very similar to how you would expect it to be. Maybe the NIL opportunities aren't the same in those sports as they might be in others. That's not always the case. There are some exceptions. But by and large, they're still, the coaches in those sports are in an environment where athletes are asking about NIL opportunities if they were to be at Florida or to stay at Florida, just like our other coaches are facing. And the portal is very much alive and well in all of those sports in the same way. So, this is affecting every single part of our campus. And I repeat what I've said before. Quality coaching still matters, and great fan support and great facilities and great academics, all those things still matter. But NIL is now something that a school needs to be really good at. And Florida Victorious has done a really nice job of being responsive. We have incredible Gator fans who have supported their efforts in the Florida Victorious space, and we would ask for them to continue to do so. And if you've not, as you learn more, as you maybe become more comfortable, look for opportunities we ask to do so.
The good news is many of those sports I mentioned are having a fantastic spring, including gymnastics, will compete for a national championship here in the coming days. Thanks again, as always. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
One final order of business this week. As always, a lot of Gators in action over the last 7 to 10 days, including a ton of activity during the Orange and Blue weekend. UF student Kenna McGinnis returns with another installment of Kenna on Campus to recap all the results.
Thanks, Sean. Here are the recent Gators results. Florida baseball spent the past week at home, losing another series to SEC opponent South Carolina this weekend and snapping back against Jacksonville on Tuesday. The scores from South Carolina read 10-3 Gamecocks on Friday, 9-8 Gamecocks on Saturday, and 11-9 Gators on Sunday. On Tuesday, the Gators beat the Dolphins 12-1, marking head coach O'Sullivan's 700th win with the program. Florida was led offensively by Tyler Shelnutt, who recorded his first career multi-homer game. Shelnutt had much to say post-game about how the team will lean on each other as they prepare to face Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, going into a series against Vandy is always a big deal. It's a big series, a really good team. We're a really good team. Continue to build on the good things that we've done throughout the last couple days. All the little things like quality at bats, moving runners over, just leading by example is going to be a big deal in winning those games, because every game is won by one pitch, one run, one out, one inning. So being able to take that pitch away from the other team is going to be a big deal in winning games.
Number 9 Gator softball also lost their SEC series last weekend, facing the number 14 Missouri Tigers. Florida lost Friday 6-3, Saturday 5-2, and won on Sunday 3-1. The Florida women's golf team finished their weekend at the SEC Championship in 13th place. This is the first time the Gators did not make match play in two seasons. On April 24th, UF will find out its regional selection and prepare to make a comeback. Gators lacrosse earned their 13th straight win this weekend. 9th-ranked Florida defeated James Madison on Saturday 15-7. 9 different players scored, dominating the JMU Dukes. Men's tennis split results in their most recent SEC matchups. On Friday, the Gators were bested by the Arkansas Razorbacks 4-3. At their final home game of the regular season, they swept South Carolina 4-0. Women's tennis also ended regular season play on a high note. 13th-ranked Florida defeated the 18th-ranked South Carolina Gamecocks home for Senior Day on Saturday, 4-2. Lastly, in Gators track and field news, elite performances this past weekend leave me with many more broken records to report. On day one of the Tom Jones Memorial Invitational, Florida collected 12 top 10 finishes, 3 all-time top 10 marks, and 7 personal records. On day two, 19 top 10 finishes, 4 Florida all-time top 10 marks, and 7 more personal records. The most notable achievement, however, goes to Parker Valvey's 10,000-meter collegiate record at the Brian Clay Invitational. Valvey smashed the previous record, held for 14 years, by 28 seconds. To no surprise, she's been named the SEC Women's Runner of the Week. Tune in next week for more Gator Sports Recaps. I'm Kenna McGinnis, and this has been Kenna on Campus.
Thank you as always, Kenna, and that'll do it. A wrap on episode 31 of the Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly. Thanks for making us a part of your Gators week, and a big thanks as always to my guest, head coach Billy Napier, and swimming and diving captains Emma Wayant and Jake Mitchell. I'm Sean Kelly, reminding you to help our sponsors as they help us, UF Health and Pet Paradise. Please hit that subscribe button and don't be afraid to leave a review as well. Until next time, we'll see you right here on this podcast, or perhaps the upcoming Gators Caravan, which hits Orlando this coming Monday. And until next time, and as always, go Gators!